I remember one summer when I was in college, the local parish reached out to us who were staying on campus for the summer, asking if we would be willing to, for those months, fill some of the adoration slots that they had. They had a perpetual adoration chapel, and of course during summer, people go on vacation, and students who filled those spots during the school year would go home. So I thought, yeah, I'm here, I might as well. To spend the time with the Lord is it really a good thing? And I wanted to push myself a little bit, so I looked at, you know, what are the slots that are open in the middle of the night? And so I signed up for 1 a.m. I thought, I'm a college student. I'm already staying up that late anyway. Why not make one of those hours a holy hour and commit to that? And so I honestly, throughout that summer, I can say that I, in that 1 o'clock hour, slept more than I prayed in that holy hour. That was the toughest prayer period I've ever tried to do in my whole life. And yet there was something, you know, when that doorbell would ring, that the next adorer was there to be let in, and it would wake me up because I was asleep every time, I never felt like it was a wasted hour. Even though more time was spent me probably snoring in front of the Blessed Sacrament than actually dialoguing with the Blessed Sacrament, I feel like that time wasn't wasted. And I think it's because there was a presence. I was able to be in the presence of Christ. And so I really like our first reading, this story of Samuel. This dude, he literally slept in the temple. He placed himself in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. And I feel like in a weird way, it kind of makes it okay that I slept in all those hours of adoration. I feel justified a little bit because here is Samuel who as we know, he was the son of Hannah. Hannah is this powerful example for us from the Old Testament of how to approach the presence of our Lord. Hannah is found dialoguing with God, throwing her emotions at him, full in this conversation, pleading for a son. And God grants that to her. And her response to that presence of the Lord in her life, the gift that she was given, she gives Samuel then back to the temple. She recognizes so clearly how to respond to the presence of the Lord. And so Samuel, from the very beginning of his life, is being taught how to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, he hasn't encountered him yet. It says that in the scripture. But here is a young man placing himself in the presence. He's making that opportunity. He knows that he has to create the space to encounter that presence. He has to put himself into the presence of the Lord to begin that relationship. That's a great example for us. And one particularly this weekend that I want to expand on. Because back in November, Father Dan and I introduced that we are going to start a homily series following catechesis of the Mass, kind of explaining some of why we do what we do in the Mass. And then following that weekend, we both got COVID. And so we weren't able to go any further in that series. But we're picking it back up this weekend. So in November, that first homily, it spoke about the Mass as a dialogue between the Father and the Son. And so for us to say, wait a minute, the Son, he's here present? That's an important thing. And so this weekend, we're going to focus on what the church teaches are the four places within the Mass where Christ is present. The four presences of Christ within this celebration. The first place where Christ is present is in the assembly. Each one of us, as baptized Christians, Christ is present within our souls. At baptism, we receive a baptismal candle that's lit off of the Easter candle to represent this reality that the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit, is dwelling within us. In our second reading, St. Paul reminds the Corinthians of this. Do you not realize that you are temples of this Holy Spirit? And so the assembly, how we respond and pray and sing, that is the first place where Christ is present in the Mass. And so when we are thinking about our own dignity as human beings, all we have to do is enter into the prayer and the songs of Mass to be reminded you are a presence of Jesus Christ in this celebration. The second place that the church identifies as a place where Christ is his real presence is within the celebration of the Mass is within the priest. Within this minister who has been ordained, set apart in a specific role to be Christ within this celebration, to lead the prayer and the sacrifice in a particular way, in a particular role. And so this is part of the reason that we wear vestments is so that when you look up here, you're not seeing Father Paul. I'm not up here in a baseball cap or a flannel shirt or something. I'm up here in vestments so that you look up and you see Christ. Because it is Christ who is acting as high priest. It is Christ who is serving us and entering into the dialogue with his Father as the high priest. When I baptize someone, it is Jesus Christ who baptizes that person. When I bless within the Mass, it is Christ who is blessing us. And when I hold bread and wine and I say, this is my body, this is my blood, it is Christ who is saying that, who is transforming it into a reality. The third place where Christ is present within this celebration is within the living word, within the proclamation of the gospel. It is Christ who is proclaiming the gospel. It is Christ who is present in that word as we receive it into our minds and our hearts. That's why there's a procession with the book of the gospels. That's why if we were to have servers, we would have candles on either side of the ambo as that gospel message is being proclaimed. Because Christ is fully present in that living word. The fourth place where Christ is truly present in this celebration is, of course, in the Eucharist. The church says this is the presence above all presences. The Eucharist, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ present to us in this Eucharistic celebration. Part of the ways that we show this, again, are the candles flanking the altars, the sanctuary candle next to the tabernacle, recognizing and calling to mind there is a presence here. Christ is dwelling and present. This, above all the presence, it's the most important for us to recognize and focus on during the Mass. The other three are important, But those other three, they have qualifications to them. The word proclaimed, it ceases to exist after it has stopped being heard. The ourselves as temples of the Holy Spirit or the priest serving in the persona Christi, in the person of Christ, that can be marred or blocked by sin. But the Eucharist is without sin. The Eucharist is eternal and everlasting. And so we see this body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ truly present as the par excellence, as the greatest of all the presences of Christ here in this celebration. All that we are doing is pointing towards that reality. Christ present, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we're not just talking about his body present as it was historically 2,000 years ago. But what we encounter and receive here is his glorified body. His body that has been resurrected and is experiencing a fullness of spirituality and reality. His glorified body is what we focus on within this Eucharistic celebration. We place ourselves in this presence like Samuel. And so for us to constantly be calling that to mind as we prepare and we come to Mass is an important thing. How are we to come to this encounter? To be more aware of what presence we are entering into is so important. To be aware of Jesus Christ present in each other and in ourselves, present within the priest, present within the gospel proclaimed, and present to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity. This is so important for us to not only understand, but to place ourselves before, as Samuel did. Because what we see in all of Scripture is that when people encounter that presence, they're transformed. When we see in the gospel the calling of these first disciples, they are put into the presence of Jesus Christ and their lives are changed. Their very identities, Simon into Cephas, their very identities are transformed because that's the power of his presence. And so may we take a moment to say, how am I placing myself into this presence? Am I growing in an awareness of that presence? Maybe I'm not to the point where I can even stay awake through all of Mass. That's okay. Am I aware of the presence? And am I allowing myself to come and encounter that presence? Because when we do, when we encounter Jesus Christ, he will transform our lives.